What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
No, I wanted you to put the headset on. Isn't this one of your songs?
It is.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right.
James Johnny's name.
We are back coming to you live from UFC media room, workout room, / room, as we get ready for UFC 245. Mm-hmm. Excited about it. Three title fights. Usman is my guy. Usman will always be my guy.
Yeah.
Did the show throughout his run on The Ultimate Fighter. But deep down, and, you know, the promotion doesn't care. They're not supposed to care,
mm-hmm.
right? But don't you think that they kind of want Covington to continue on this run?
Oh.
Because people will pay money.
100%.
When they dislike a fighter.
100%. I like Kamaru Usman. I like the way he carries himself. Love the way he fights. But even just turning up here at Red Rock today and seeing Colby arrive with his team, there's an aura about the guy, like him or dislike him. Apart from the, listen, personality aside, he's a phenomenal fighter. And I think there's a very, very good chance he's going to take this win on the weekend.
Don't you think fans, you know, not necessarily media, but some media as well, but fans, when they dislike somebody so much,
yeah.
they don't give them the credit that they should be given.
100%. Yeah, and I think that happens. I think it's when you get those, the bad guys, you know, for instance, you talked about Brock Lesnar before with Mo. You know, Brock Lesnar coming into the UFC was a little bit, and he literally jumped the rankings right. because he was such a megastar. But you forget the guy, when he came into the UFC for the first time around, he was 280 pounds, 290 pounds, and he's gliding around a ring. And he's an expert wrestler. People obviously see him as a personality in the WWF or WWE, sorry. But because he was kind of came in with this bad dude thing, and I'm not going to drink a Bud Light, and I'm not going to do this Dana and this and that, and he's surly, and I don't imagine he's that nice a guy. I don't know the guy, but he comes across as someone that's, you know, not got the biggest personality in the world.
Right.
But you have to respect the fact that he came in to the highest level of the sport that we love and does certain things so, so very well, but he doesn't always get the credit. They go, oh, well, he's a clown and he's this and he's that. And you're going, well, I mean, he has still beaten quite an array of world-class heavyweights, so he's not that much of a clown. And I think the same thing with Colby. I think he's done very well with the personality thing. I don't know whether it's true or not. I've never met the guy. So I don't know whether it's all true, whether it's all for show.
And I go back and forth on that. You know, and the fans, the Randy regime will call me out on it because I typically say I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yet Tito Ortiz is one of my closest buddies.
Sure.
You know, who did the gimmick, who did all that stuff as well. So.
And he's still doing it. And like I said, I've met Tito as well through you, actually, a good few times. And the nicest, nicest man on the planet. A real gentleman, spends time with everybody, takes a photo with everybody, but played that, the Huntington Beach bad boy, and he had the gear on, and now he's got the Trump 2020. Now, I don't get into politics, but it's polarizing.
Right.
Some people will love him, some people will hate him, but you can't get away from the fact that he's still a phenomenal ambassador for the sport over the years, you know?
And I don't know if you know this, and we're not going to get political at all, but Tito was on The Apprentice. So I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I saw that.
Kind of the tie.
Oh, listen, you know, whether you know, you use anything to sell tickets. And at the end of the day, it's about pay-per-views. And sell, you know, it's the reason. Conor McGregor knows probably better than anyone in the history of this sport how to do that. How to be polarizing. Be good, be bad, throw things, say things. And he knows exactly, everything's clickbait.
Sure. I used to get a kick out of when Michael Bisping would walk into an arena and would get booed.
Yeah.
Yet people would call him over while they're booing him to take a photo with him.
Sure. But yet again, another one of those fights we're talking about with Mike, he, you know, Bisping had balls. You know, Bisping would be the guy. He would just go in and he would give you everything he got, and he might have won, he might have lost. That's what was so great about being a British MMA fan, seeing him beat Rockhold and winning a title. It was almost like, I kind of want Donald Cerrone to win a world title just because I think he deserves to.
Sure.
Does he deserve to on ability against the guys that are currently there? No, probably not. But I think everyone in the MMA world would love him. You know, Nate Diaz. There's certain people you just think they deserve to leave this sport having won that title that solidifies their legacy.
And,
kind of thing.
And doing the Michael Bisping route. Because I would say most people didn't think that he was going to go in and win that fight.
No, not at all. But, you know, but like I said, it's you can have the persona of the count and the, and I'll, And I think he probably struggled when he first started off. The trash talking is does not something that naturally comes to someone from sort of Manchester and Clitheroe, where he's from.
Sure.
But you learn very quickly if you want to sell tickets.
I'll tell you a quick Michael Bisping story. So Michael Bisping is on The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Goes on, obviously, to win The Ultimate Fighter. And the owner or co-owner of MMA Weekly, which this show is also streamed on after we do it live, Ryan Bennett passed away in a tragic car accident.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, driving from Salt Lake City to Vegas to cover a boxing event.
Yes, I remember.
That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst part, is that Ryan was killed. But to go cover something that got canceled just takes it to a whole new level. So through the UFC, Dana White, they all allowed me to participate. And a lot of guys would donate gear, Randy and Tito and blah, blah. There's just so many, you know, to go on. Michael Bisping had no idea who Ryan Bennett was.
Yeah.
Michael Bisping had probably no idea who MMA Weekly was.
Yeah.
And he donated for auction the gloves that he won The Ultimate Fighter with.
Wow.
And I've told the story, and when Mike came on many years after, I brought it up. That shows you the character of a lot of these guys, but Mike, you know, as we're talking about it, and like I said, you know, before, where people hear and see what they want to hear and see. They don't want these guys, some of them, to be. People think that Mike Perry's a jackass.
Yeah.
And he's not.
No, not at all.
But because he says or does, or, you know, they don't give him the opportunity, just like I don't think they're giving Covington the opportunity of being a very good fighter.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going on the Bisping thing. He literally was the, you know, him, people like, you know, probably Paul Daly, Ross Pearson, all those kind of, they were the guys that kind of,
another awesome dude, Ross.
Yeah,
Pearson.
But they, you know, they were the ones. But when it was always like, the British guy's getting in there and he's going to do okay, and then he gets knocked out or gets out wrestled, and that's the end of that. And then when Bisping started to put a run together and beat some amazing people, he was probably, you know, he obviously became the ambassador for the sport, which he kind of is now in the UK. But when you come from working class backgrounds, and I listen to his podcast, the Believe You Me podcast, religiously, I love it. But whenever you talk about the upbringing that he had, and he worked in an abattoir, and he worked in nightclubs, and he worked doing this and doing that, and he said, I had no direction. He finds the sport, and he had a family, couldn't afford to feed them. That energy, you never forget. If you come from those environments and you forget where you come from, then you are a lost soul, really. You know, it's over well living and having millions of dollars and being on Fox and being a former champion and all these endorsements and bits and pieces like that. Things like that are so important. And I think usually only in combat sport do you really see that all the way through the board, because in baseball or football or soccer or anything like that, it's not the same impact on your body, on your psyche, you know.
Oh yeah, that's yeah.
You know, so I think you really do appreciate that a sport has given you something to further and better your life and your family's life. And I think, you know, it's nice. You know, I think you told me a great story about Matt Serra did the same thing. I think it might have even been for the same cause with his gloves.
The underwear.
Yeah, and it was the underwear that he beat GSP in, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's class. That's class.
But and he was shocked when I took him.
Yeah, listen.
We raised $800 on those underwear.
Listen, I'd have bought them.
No, it's...
I'd have bought them. I couldn't have worn them, but I'd have worn them.
Randy Couture, after every single fight, donated the gloves. After every fight,
mm-hmm.
title fights,
mm-hmm.
you know, Chuck Liddell, you know, don't a lot of people.
I think it just goes down to the respect thing, you know, you have immense respect for the person you're sharing a ring with. You have immense respect for the people in the business. You know, you're all striving for the same thing at the end of the day. Feed your families. Take care of yourself.
Talking about, you know, some of the memorabilia that was auctioned off. Do you collect anything? Do you have memorabilia? And is there something that you would really like to get, no matter what it is?
I have two things that I love since we started our podcast, Sin City Sluggers. I never wanted to sell anything. The reason we set up the podcast was, as a boxing fan and living in Vegas and having access now to a wider variety of legends that I grew up with, I just wanted to have the glove signed, you know. So we've had all sorts of people on. Al Bernstein, Ray Mercer came on, Fernando Vargas came on. Recently we had Joe Cortez on, and they all sign my gloves, and they take pride of place on the shelf. And whenever we do a show, I just ask whoever comes in to sign the gloves, because I'm a fan. I wouldn't say historian, but I'm, you know, that means a lot to me. And the other thing that means a lot to me, I have a guitar, and this story was inspired by an old rock and roll star back home that I used to know. And he said, whenever you're working, all these things, just remember to get some photographs, get something to remind you of the time. He said, because it seems like nothing right now.
Right.
But he said, you're a British lad, you've got a show in Vegas. He said, keep every picture, keep every poster, even if it sits in a box, you don't have to display it, keep it. He said, because trust me, in 30 years time, when you can't sing or you're dead or your kids are looking through it, whatever it may be, he says, it's really important. And I have a guitar that every one of notes that I've ever worked with that's done stuff, Hall of Famers, they've all signed the guitar for me. But I have this old guitar, and the very first person to sign it was David Gilmour from Pink Floyd. I'm a huge Pink Floyd fan. Wow. And I was doing a show in London, and a friend of mine, we were jamming together, and he said, oh, this afternoon, David Gilmour's coming in. And I said, I wonder if he'd sign my guitar. And a friend of mine said, don't worry about it. He said, listen, Pink Floyd, they don't sign anything. Because of eBay now, they don't sign anything. They don't sign autographs. They'll do photos, they won't do autographs. And I said, that's no problem. We finished the show. I came and met the guy. He was awesome. And my friend, being the cocky sod that he was, said, David, would you sign this guitar for Jimmy? And he looked and he felt a bit awkward, and the whole room felt a little bit awkward. And I said, no, don't worry about it. And he said, no, it's fine. For a true fan, no problem. He says, and he handed in the Sharpie and he picked up my guitar. And as he was signing it, I kind of said to him, I says, don't worry. I said, it's not worth very much. And his wife went, it is now. So I'm told that I need Nick Mason and Roger Waters, and it'll be worth about $500,000. So, wow. But I'm two signatures off that.
Right.
And yeah. I would never sell it anyway. But no, they're the two things. Boxing gloves, signed memorabilia from boxing's my sport. That's my love. And the music stuff maybe be second, but they're the two things that I have that I think are really important to keep.
I'll tell you my quick guitar story. So I'm at a charity event many, many years ago for All Children's Hospital in St. Pete. And there was a singer there, and I'll tell you the name in a second, but a relatively known singer in a relatively known band. And he's bidding, and I want to say he bid $1,700 on a Jim Palmer replica signed jersey. So I said to the singer, I said, you know, if you want, I can get you that jersey. It's like $150.
Yeah.
And not cocky, but he said $1,700 is $150. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And well, he had a guitar up for sale and I couldn't afford it. I knew what it was going to go for. So I said to this rock legend, I said, well, if that's the case, I'd love a guitar. So Glenn Frey sent me an autographed guitar.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because the Eagles are my favorite band. So that's amazing.
Yeah, definitely cool. It's one of my prized possessions. I got to see him not too long ago here in Vegas, and I screwed up my flight. I thought I was at a 1 a.m. flight, and yeah. It was like 11.
Yeah.
So I had to leave at intermission, but it was phenomenal.
Oh, I'm very jealous because, yeah, the Eagles, my favorite band. I'm so gutted that I'll never see, you know, Glenn Frey kind of up there with the guys, you know. Very sad. Gone too long. Gone too soon, sorry.
No, definitely. It's, you know, I talked about this. I went to a Little River Band concert. Mm-hmm. The only problem is everybody in Little River Band is from Kansas City now.
Right.
Where they used to be from Australia.
Right.
So it's not the same, you know, as a performer, you right. know, and a fan of the music. And I know we don't normally talk music stuff, but give me your take on that. I mean, here's Little River Band, a big name from back in the 70s, but yeah. It's really not Little River Band.
There's a lot of that going on right now. You have... you know, you have one. I have to be careful here because I have lots of friends in, sure. in some of these bands. But if you you talk about certain famous rock bands from back in the day that are currently still touring and still selling out, and there's maybe only two of the original members in the band, it's kind of, I kind of go, well, it's not really the band then, is right. it? But that's just the nature of the beast. At the end of the day, fans just want to hear the songs. So I don't mind it too much. It's usually the singers. If you change singers in a band, so Journey.
Journey, we're going to see them.
So I love Steve Perry. And I love Anna Pineda. But, you know, if you hear Don't Stop Believing and you hear Faithfully and you know, and Separate Ways, you want to hear him singing it rather than someone else singing it. So I don't know.
Now, I will say this. We went, and yeah, my brother spoiled us. We were front row for Queen.
Oh.
And I said I would never go see Queen without Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
You can't because... but it was phenomenal. I mean, it was fantastic. I forget his name, the drummer.
Roger Taylor.
So Roger Taylor, at the end of the concert, they're standing right in front of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, help me get this out of my mind because I can't get this out of my mind. So they're all standing in front of us, and we lock eyes.
Yeah.
And he has the drumsticks in his hand.
Yeah.
And I kind of said something, and he threw the drumsticks at me,
yeah,
and they landed behind me, and I didn't get them. And I can't get, that's like, it's embedded. One of, yeah, it's like, I don't know, I need to get in a car accident. I need to do something to have something else in my mind and not the fact that I couldn't catch these drumsticks that were thrown at me. But anyway, it is what it is. All right, yeah. Let's get back on track. Let's go hit this break. I know coming up, we have Chase Hooper. We're going to still try to find Kai France. I know they changed the schedule up on us a little bit. If not, we'll reminisce with Little Jimmy. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Platinum Mike Perry. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Shake, rattle, and roll at the Ryan Neese Foundation's 11th annual Power of Giving holiday party on Thursday, December 5th at the Pepin Hospitality Center. Enjoy delicious food, open bar, casino games, celebrity guests, a live band, silent auction, and most of all, fun. Tickets are on sale now at www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the DiBartolo Family Foundation. We'll see you on December 5th at the Power of Giving holiday party. Visit ryanneesefoundation.com to buy tickets now.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Jurassic World Live Tour. 65 million years in the making. Jurassic World dinosaurs come to life in an epic adventure. The feeling is real. Experience it live. Jurassic World Live Tour. Tickets on sale now, coming to Amalie Arena, January 3rd through 5th. Get your tickets today at JurassicWorldLiveTour.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Culver's Spicy Crispy Chicken Sandwich has just the right amount of heat. Gauge for yourself, hotshot. You'll need our special breading containing a pinch of hot peppery goodness. Add one natural cut chicken breast plus crisp lettuce and tomato to keep things cool. Then savor that blissful burn.
Better yet, come to Culver's and leave the whole perfectly spicy crispy chicken sandwich thing to us. Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Hi, we are back coming to you live from Las Vegas, UFC 45. We'll touch base on the card here shortly, but kind of, you know, we were talking off the air and you brought up We Will Rock You.
Yeah.
So before the show started, I was telling you, or we were talking about how small the world is.
Yeah.
This is how small the world is. So the UFC's in Vegas 5, 8, 10 years ago, whatever it was, and I was pretty well connected with, you know, some of the entertainment companies. So, Well, I'm being talked to as I'm doing this, so I kind of got sidetracked. I'm sorry. So they send two performers from We Will Rock You. Okay?
Okay.
So I don't really know much about it, but I'm a Queen fan. And so one of the gentlemen that came was in the ensemble, and he was a huge, huge UFC fan.
Right.
Then they sent the lead.
Okay.
Because he's from Pinellas Park, Florida.
Right.
Which is basically where we live, you know, Dunedin, Clearwater, that kind of stuff. So I didn't really know a whole lot about it. Jason Wooten was the star.
Yeah.
Went and saw it probably as many times as I come bother you guys and see Tenors of Rock. And later on, like in the next year, it's New Year's Eve-ish, and he invites me to his house.
Yeah.
Because he lived not far from where I live. So we go over there, we start talking. His brother or uncle, I don't remember which, played softball with my brother.
Gotcha.
So not only did we become good friends because of We Will Rock You, but it was a an awesome show, and you were just saying how you almost got into it.
Yeah. Robert De Niro said I was too young, and I haven't watched Goodfellas since.
I've never seen it.
Have you never? Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. I used to do a thing on the show, name 10 movies. If I've seen 7, you win a prize.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch a whole lot of movies.
Oh, I'm a big movie guy.
I can't sit still that long.
Well, no, I never said I was sitting still, but no. I can still watch them.
What are you most looking forward to on Saturday? Have you looked at the card? Are you?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I always just love seeing Max Holloway fight. I think he's someone that how everybody in the world doesn't know the name Max Holloway. I mean, I know he's obviously a huge star in this world, but like I was, you know, when we were saying we were doing the show and you do look down the card and all of this kind of stuff, but when you actually see the record of the people that Max Holloway has fought, and the Poirier loss aside, you know, it literally is a who's who of people that are arguably going to go into the Hall of Fame, and 9 times out of 10 he goes in and just destroys them, you know. And I've never seen him fight live ever. And he's a bucket list fighter for me. So I'm really looking forward to that. But I am looking forward to the main event. And going back to, I think, what we were talking about, Colby. Because as much as I really love Kamaru Usman, if from an entertainment point of view, and if I'm Dana or the guys at the UFC that look at pay-per-views and all this kind of stuff, you're thinking, do I want the strap around Usman's waist or do I want it around Colby Covington's waist? And it's the same as, you know, do you want it around Masvidal's waist? Do you want it around Conor McGregor's? It's the same thing, you know. And I think the welterweight division could get incredibly interesting with Colby Covington as a champion. And I think the fights that come down the line, I think, could do big pay per views and even better press conferences.
Sure, no, for sure. You know, but and I'm going to stress, because this is what I believe, that as much as they may think or want or whatever, they have no say. You know, for everybody that says the judges are on the take and the judges work for, and, you know, I was talking to Mike Perry off the air. And one of my pet peeves as a judge in the state of Florida is when fans say, well, it was home field cooking.
Yeah.
They fly these judges in.
Yeah, yeah.
These judges work for the commission. Yes, I understand that they can be blackballed or whatever. But me being the naive person that I am, you know, I don't think that they would sway because the UFC really would like to make more money.
And also, nowadays, I don't think there's much of a problem in mixed martial arts. Occasionally, there's a problem. Occasionally, I think there's a bad decision. But the state of boxing judges around the world is far worse. And now, like Nevada's State Athletic Commission, the way Joe Cortez is a good friend of mine, and he was telling me, He now works as an advisor with the Nevada State Athletic Commission for referees, and he teaches referees, and he works with judges and this and that. But he was telling me the process of how they choose judges nowadays. Now, this probably wasn't the way they did it in the 70s and the 80s, and hence why you had some controversy. But you have this thing where they're looking at, okay, who are the fighters? What do they do? And then you choose judges that can be as impartial as possible. You have 30 judges in front of you, and you're saying they always favor the aggressor. Okay, well, they're out because you've got one aggressor and maybe one, you know, one kind of fighter that will, you know, intend to slow a fight down. He says, and they will literally look at it like they're picking a baseball team or picking a sports team to fit the fighters that they're judging. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said, it truly is something that goes on and on and on. He says, especially in Nevada, they're very hot on it in Nevada, that they will pick the best judges for the two fighters that are in the ring to make it as, you know, to make it as clear as possible and as clear as day that this is going to be as close to the best judging of the fight without any, you know, any preference towards moving forward, being on the ground. Oh, this judge favors takedowns. Right. Da, 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 you know, he said, I think that's nonsense in this day and age of $4 billion business. That's nonsense.
All right. So I want to say this as jokingly as possible, Chase, because I don't want you to kick my butt. It is FCC radio. This is upsetting to me.
Yeah.
Chase Hopper, first UFC fight, yeah. Main event on Fight Pass, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I've covered this sport longer than he's been alive.
I know. By the way, this is really getting to him this morning. He's just realized how old he is.
Well, I know how old I am, but tell us about, you know, how this whole thing has happened to your first fight. Are you trying to treat this just like another MMA event, or is it difficult when you're wearing UFC logoed items?
I think the buildup for me has been like a nice smooth one. So many people just are fighting like on all the local shows and then they just jump right up to the UFC, and that's I think like a huge leap in like everything, like the production and all that, like stuff like this is huge for most people. But I've been on, since my contender fight, I've been on a developmental contract. So I've been working with UFC Fight Pass pretty much the whole time since that fight. And it's been a good build up. I've been doing like more and more media stuff. Like my last fight in Florida was for Titan FC, Fight Pass show.
Yeah,
it's like a good like mid-tier one, but I flew out on like Tuesday, same thing I'm doing here, and pretty much like the whole week I was just doing media stuff.
You know what people don't understand, Jimmy, this is Jimmy from Tenors of Rock, as well as a boxing show. He knows more about combat sports than most. people forget, you know, when you get to the NFL or here at your young age, and you're just thrown into this media thing. You know, I mean, it took me years to be able to feel comfortable. Were you comfortable right out of the blocks?
It was definitely trial by error. I started, my coach was kind of encouraging me to do like as many interviews as I could.
Yeah.
Like people would hit me up and be like, oh, hey, you want to do an interview for my like 300 follower YouTube channel? And I'd be like, yeah, let's do it. And I definitely built up my confidence and my ability to speak. I was always like the nerdy kid who was just quiet in class. So, yeah. You know, it's been a process, but I think I'm kind of getting there.
How do you feel like being the age that you are going into the level of sport?
Under 20. <Yeah.
laughs> But being the age that you are and graduating to this level now, you're now in this is the big leagues and all that kind of stuff. Are you conscious of the entertainment side of this business? Thinking about, cause some people like to fight. That's undoubtedly, but Mike Perry sat in the chair before you. There's someone that just loves to fight and necessarily doesn't necessarily like much of the media stuff because that's not really his personality. Are you conscious now coming into this as a new, as the new age of MMA and social media and internet and all this kind of stuff that you have to put on a show, or do you just focus purely on the fighting? And if I do a job in the octagon, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
No, I feel like I definitely take the entertainment factor into account. Like, it's not purely a sport. Like, people might watch basketball because they want to see the teams play.
Yeah.
But with fighting, they want to see, like, the whole production. They want to see, like, you, like, having a little spat with your guy or something like that. They want to see, like, drama. It's not really my style particularly, but I feel like I have something that separates me from all these other fighters. Like, I don't look like just some jacked dude with tattoos who, like, you know, is scarred up and looks like
he's
in wars and stuff.
But that could work for you, you know, like from an entertainment point of view. You're good enough to be where you are right now, and fingers crossed, go right to the top. But the fact you don't have a broken nose, the fact that you don't have messy tattoos all over you, and have that persona of just some brute that gets to catch, I think that could work just as well, you know, because I think people get behind that.
Well, going back to WWE, you know, you have your heels and you have your baby faces, and I hate to say it, you're the baby face right now.
Yeah.
You know, you're the new guy, and you smiled as soon as I said it. So it's kind of like it's an aspect and you're looking for.
Sure. Definitely just stand out a little, be over the top. I feel like it's genuine. Like, I'm genuinely just like a young, weird, nerdy. I'm not. I can't walk out and be called like the Crusher or something, like, you know, go work for me.
But just goes to show you what mixed martial arts can do, that you don't have to be that.
Right.
You know, when I was growing up, you know, you walked into a boxing gym, you had to be big and growl, and, you know, that was the way you kind of survived, you know, where nowadays, maybe you're flying the flag for, you don't need to be ugly like the rest of the guys, you know?
Who were some of the fighters that you kind of, you know, gravitated to and said, this is what I want to go do?
Well, my coach, Jeff Hoagland, was in the UFC. He was a major inspiration. Like, I was probably like 11 years old when he was making his UFC debut. So
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 2 weeks
ago. Pretty
much,
yeah. Just turned 12.
He's going to kick my ass.
But I really gravitated towards like the Diaz brothers, Damian Maya, a lot of people that use like grappling and have more the like durability. They're like longer guys and they're also, you know, skinnier like myself.
Yeah. So what would you say then to all those people out there, and meant with all due respect, that they might never have heard your name just yet, where hopefully on Saturday night they're going to know. How would you explain your style to the listeners out there? What would they expect from a Chase Hooper fight? What are they getting?
I think durability is a big factor, but also, you know, like awkwardness and being pretty slick, at least with the grappling aspect of it.
Yeah.
I can kind of go from bell to bell, like the whole 15, or I can go 20 seconds. You know, it depends on.
Okay.
I just kind of let it go. I don't try to force too much.
You seem very calm. Do you ever lose it? Have you ever lost it so far? Because listen, to be 20, you know, to be 20 years, you're 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
So to be 20 years old and be in the UFC and you're next to the media room and we've got Usman and Covington avoiding each other outside and you've got all this kind of stuff that Randy was saying, you know, it's very difficult to keep your head, you know, and you seem to have that kind of personality. Is that something that you... I mean, by the way, cling to that because being calm is a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I think I kind of, I don't know, I kind of just take everything in stride, I feel like. Like in one of my fights before Contender, I had a guy that was trying to like trash talk me and stuff like in the fight. And I just kind of like laughed a little bit. Like, it's kind of like trying to think about it for what it is. Like this grand scheme of things like doesn't matter that much. So I'm just trying to enjoy it all. You know?
Enjoy it as you go. Let's get to know you a little bit. This show, longest running MMA combat show in the country. We try to find out a little bit more about you, not necessarily the fight per se, just about you. So let me throw a couple things at you. You're going to have dinner for four people, cannot be family members, can't be team members, living or passed away, real or fictitious. What four people would you want to sit down and have dinner with?
Oof. Probably, let's go, the Diaz brothers, that's two. They seem like they'd be pretty fun. Maybe someone more intellectual, like a Joe Rogan. And then just to throw like a wild card in there, throw old President Donnie T in there, you know, just make it interesting.
Yeah. There you go. That would be one hell of a party, wouldn't it?
That would be that interesting. Would be... I love asking stuff like that because that's how you get to know people. I'm Jewish and I asked an NFL guy and one of his four was Hitler. And my thing is like, is there something I need to know?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I would want to ask him, what the hell was wrong with you? You know, so some of the answers, I know I asked you this before earlier, Jimmy, memorabilia. If you could have any piece of memorabilia from anything, anywhere on planet, any planet, what would it be? And I'm saying it because I want you to hear what the answer one of the Buccaneers gave me.
maybe something like the gloves that Diaz wore when he fought Connor, something like super iconic like that. Or like just something like where it was a huge, huge fight, and it ended up like the opposite of how people thought it would. And yeah, I think that'd be cool.
So like Matt Serra's underwear.
Like Serra's underwear, right. Yeah.
Which we auctioned off after he beat GSP for the Ryan Bennett Fund. Superpower. If you could have any superpower, what would you be?
Time, for sure. I'd like to be able to like stop time, slow down time. Because I feel like I'm just rushing to do so much stuff. Sometimes I just like to pause it and, you know, play video games or something for way too long, and then just kind of be like, oh, all right, you know, that was like 5 seconds.
Before I go back to the memorabilia, because I need to tell you what this one Buccaneer said, what's up with all you youngins making all this youngins like that?
Youngins.
You know, can make money playing video games now?
Yeah, I don't know.
What's up with that?
Sugar Sean, UFC 35er, he, I think he was on Joe Rogan saying he makes like somewhere like $30,000 a month or something just streaming video games. I don't think I'm good enough at them or interesting enough for that, but,
Hey, 500. I'll take 500. I don't care.
Yeah.
So the NFL player said, I don't collect memorabilia, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, you have to pick something. And this is the greatest answer anybody's ever said. He said, Jesus's sandals. I'm like, I would take those too. Can you imagine that?
Sandals.
No telling what it's worth, but I, you know, just, yeah. All right. Would you rather talk like Yoda or breathe like Darth Vader? And you got to answer this one too, Jim.
I think breathe like Darth Vader. When I was a little kid, I thought he was saying my last name. I thought his like inhale, exhale was like him saying Hooper.
That's awesome.
So I was pretty into it.
Walkout or something then.
That's a good answer.
It doesn't matter. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll get him on it.
You should.
Oh, mine would be Yoda, just because being like, you know, I'm 6'4", 300 pounds. So I think talking like Yoda would be...
In the kilt.
Yeah, in a kilt.
Because like, he performs
look,
in a kilt.
Kind of looking the way that I do, I think it would scare the life out of people. I think it would lead to fight. That.
Other sports? Do you follow? You're from the Washington area, right?
Yeah. I followed the Seahawks when they were at the Super Bowl, kind of, very vaguely. I don't know. I'm not really into other sports because it's just like I don't have the attention span.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe jiu-jitsu is a big one, but it's not really like – it's not a major thing. Like I go to some grimy gym and watch a jiu-jitsu tournament. But
are you going to go to this thing tomorrow night?
I am for sure.
I'm looking forward to that so much. I mean, yeah. It's a lot of big-name guys, but just the jiu-jitsu tournament's going to be cool.
Yeah, I want to see if they'll let me throw my girlfriend against one of the interns from UFC Fight Pass. Because he thinks – he's never trained before, but he thinks he can take her. And she's probably got, like, 2 years of jiu-jitsu, got a couple stripes on her white belt. I think that'd be great on the card.
Let's right. do that.
I'm gonna
let's make a call.
I'm going to break something right here. I wasn't going to, but since you said this, and this is a national radio show, so once I say it, I'm screwed.
You're done, yeah.
So, Schmo,
yeah.
I don't know if you know this media guy, kind of fairly new, has called out Ariel Helwani.
Yeah.
You know, to a jiu-jitsu match. I have called my old trainer.
Right.
And that's why I'm starting back.
No way.
Because I'm going to make a challenge after when and if that happens.
Who are you going to challenge? I'm
going to hold that.
This is live radio.
My white belt stripes on my white belt are old.
Yeah.
But I ran into George Gazelle earlier.
Yeah.
So between George and some of my old trainers, I'm thinking about, at my age, my wife's like, no. I said, well, what you don't know won't hurt you. You know, I'm thinking about doing it. Any pre-fight rituals? What are you doing in the back? I know this is your first official, you know, UFC, but, you know, leading up to this.
Binge eating is a big thing for me after weigh-ins up until the fight. Like my last two fights, I was pretty much eating the whole time from weigh-ins until I was like getting ready to warm up.
What are you eating?
Lots of M&Ms. I actually brought my own from home. I didn't want to try to make my way to the M&M world. So I've just brought some from home and, it's gonna be great.
George Gazelle came to do the show once. I was in the hotel room and I was sitting there with my Diet Coke and a bag of Cheetos and he literally almost kicked my butt.
Yeah.
He's like, if I ever see you, with Cheetos again, hey, don't go nowhere.
Do you struggle with weight? Is that something that you've, I mean, obviously being the age that you are right now, but do you have a struggle with any of that kind of stuff?
No, I think I'm still growing into my body, so we'll see where I end up weight class wise.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just like sticking to the diet, you know. It sucks a little bit, but I probably started dieting like a month or two out, and it's been pretty smooth so far.
That's good. That's good.
Not too many things, people. I've been around. I've been on the air 38 years. My very first UFC that I covered, UFC 11, that monster won the tournament. That Mark Coleman, if you didn't recognize him, old school. People literally would shake when he would walk by.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the godfather of ground and pound and, you know, all that kind of stuff. TV shows. You know, what do you watch when you have time to watch, when you're not so busy at 20 years, 4 days, and 6 hours?
I'm trying to watch, I'm trying to get into the Wu-Tang show that they have on Hulu. I'm a pretty, like, skinny white kid from, like, you know, like Cowtown, USA, pretty much. But, I, you know, I'm into the rap music, like the kids. and South Park, I grew up on South Park, surprisingly.
What kind of music do you listen to?
Mainly more like rap, but I have an appreciation for more like the 90s, like rock and roll type of stuff too, like Metallica, Nirvana, like more of the classics.
Okay, that's good. But then again, you're from Washington State, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Who, and I normally don't like to ask this, who do you like in the main event?
I think it's going to be, it's going to come down to cardio 100%. Like Usman with his like trash talk has been like, talking about how it's going to go the, like the whole 25 minutes. So I think it's kind of out of the question whether or not it's going to be a finish. But I think it's more going to be Usman's like size and strength against Colby's like cardio. And I think it might edge it out for Colby. It might be, you know, not the most interesting fight to watch, at least for me personally. I prefer more like the jiu-jitsu style of grappling, not the like holding and smashing. Sure. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be a rough fight cardio wise for both of them.
Can you watch a fight for entertainment, you know, as a fan, or as you're watching, do you always spring into trying to learn and pick things up?
I think I'm able to do both. More with the people in my division that I'll kind of watch a little more competitively, or like trying to see what they're doing, or if it'd be a good matchup for me, but. Like, I can watch fights like Poirier-McGregor. I was actually out here watching that with Fight Pass. And I was able to watch that fight and both, like, be interested by the fact that you can, like, see how good Khabib is as a grappler, but also to see some of the stuff that he was doing differently.
Exciting stuff. Are you looking forward to Saturday night, or is it, and I know I asked you this earlier, just another fight, or is it kind of like, you know, this is a big deal. This is where I can really send my name out there.
For so many of my fights, like leading up to this, I was stressed out, like kind of like I felt like somebody like walking out to die into the cage. it's a very
gladiator.
Like, stressful, because it was like such a big thing for me. Like, oh, if I lose this fight, like there's no way I'll be able to make it to the UFC. And now that I'm here, like I'm really just genuinely excited. I'm excited to go out there and show my. My style off to everybody and to, you know, try to make my game plan work against my opponent.
Talk me into, relax me in that you're 20, your opponent is what, 31. You know, normally I'm like, you know, I'm against stuff like that.
Yeah.
So tell me why this is okay and why this is not a fair fight, but why you're going to win this fight.
Including my amateur career, this will be my 16th fight, I think. And not a single fight have I gone against somebody that was my age or, like, younger. Mm-hmm. I've always been the younger guy. I've always been the smaller guy. And as you can see in my contender fight with Kanan, he was, like, super tough. But I was able to kind of deal with the aggressiveness and, you know, kind of work my stuff on him. I'm super durable. I'm young. I don't have the wear and tear on me that my opponent does. Like, I can wake up from a fight the next morning and be ready to fight again. Probably shouldn't, but that's just being 20, I guess, is, like, having the durability and having the ability to bounce back. And all the stuff, like the timing, the instincts, all that. I've been training for just as long, if not longer, than my opponent. I've been training for probably, like, 12 years, so it's not like I just started this the other day.
Yeah.
Here you go. Easy enough. Chase, thank you very much for coming out. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong for stopping by, as well as I have a original grain watch for you. I see you're wearing one, but hopefully you know, you'll put that watch on as well. And then we're going to go hit our final break, coming to you live from just outside the UFC media room. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Knockout Radio. This is the Russian Hammer. Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Jurassic World Live Tour. 65 million years in the making. Jurassic World dinosaurs come to life in an epic adventure. The feeling is real. Experience it live. Jurassic World Live Tour. Tickets on sale now, coming to Amalie Arena, January 3rd through 5th. Get your tickets today at JurassicWorldLiveTour.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Shake, rattle, and roll at the Ryan Neese Foundation's 11th annual Power of Giving holiday party on Thursday, December 5th at the Pepin Hospitality Center. Enjoy delicious food, open bar, casino games, celebrity guests, a live band, silent auction, and most of all, fun. Tickets are on sale now at www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the DiBartolo Family Foundation. We'll see you on December 5th at the Power of Giving holiday party. Visit ryanneesefoundation.com to buy tickets now.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Say you had the greatest job in the world, crafting pumpkin fresh frozen custard desserts at Culver's. Here would be your typical day. Pour farm fresh dairy into the custard maker and run continuously. Add real pumpkin puree and pumpkin pie spice. Then craft our pumpkin spice shake or salted caramel pumpkin concrete mixer.
Just like that, pumpkin's back at Culver's, but not for long. Welcome to Delicious.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
It's Chuck the Ice Lewandow, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Hi, we are back. minutes left. We run down the. Tell me what. Or I won't. We also offer you as well for stopping by up in 2 hours with us and everything that you do for the show. And you're our Las Vegas correspondent and covering the boxing and everything that you do for us. So, what are you looking forward to on Saturday?
I'm. Oh, this is a hard one. I mean, because the top of the bill is just such an amazing fight, and it could literally go 50-50. So I think that's a bit of a chess match. I'm really looking forward to seeing Uriah Faber back.
Yeah,
I think that's something. When you've got, you know, he's a legend of the sport, has a very successful team. I'm told he's a very clever businessman. You know, you get to a certain point where you're good looking, you've got everything going for you, but the allure of the cage just pulls you back.
Yeah,
in,
you just can't walk away.
And you're in the gym every day, and you know you're pitting yourself against guys that are coming up, and you're thinking, I can still do this. You know, so I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know.
I half expected him to be in this grappling thing tomorrow. That's why I looked.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing him back because you never quite know. Is he going to have the same snap that he used to have? Has he got civilized being out of the game for a while? But is that always nice to see Jose Aldo? You know, another kind of god and another. I'd love to. I've never seen Amanda Nunes fight live, so
that fight intrigues me.
That intrigues me because the second fight, and of course the media and those don't know the sport will tell you Amanda Nunes will run through GDR, but you know, at the end of the day, the striking, you know, and especially a kickboxing experience is, I'd imagine, probably one of the greatest of all time, you know, female kickboxing point of view.
Sure.
So I think now, 6 years on from their first fight, I think you've learned a great deal. I think it could be a war.
And how hard is it to stay grounded? And Amanda seems to be grounded.
Yeah.
She, you know, takes everything serious. I'm sure she's training, you know, kind of back with the heavyweight title fight. But, you know, now you're a champ. You're dominating. Everybody's saying you're the greatest of all time. Did you go 90%? Did you go 98%?
Yeah.
Or did you give 100% against somebody who literally can knock your head off?
And literally do that. I mean, you look back on some of the tapes of the kickboxing when she was world champion, and you're thinking, Jesus wept. If this lady lands anywhere on you, you're off. So I think it's a very different fight now, 6 years on.
There's another one on there too. How about Matt Brown, Ben Saunders?
Yeah. And to be honest with you, looking down the card, I'm looking forward to seeing Mike Perry fight, as I always do. Now I've even met Chase. I'm interested to go down, and there's some names on this list that I'm not aware of, but there are some fights in here. I think it's a stacked card, to be very honest with you. When you're talking about the top five fights, and Mike Perry's fifth down the list, and right, that's in, you know, that could well be the most exciting fight of the night.
We do need, and I don't know if this can happen, but I need the main event to be a first rounder. I have a flight to catch.
Oh, really? Yeah. Straight after the event?
Yeah. I always, normally, for some reason, American changed it. Normally, it's like 1:30. This is 12:55.
Okay.
Which I should be fine.
Okay. You'll be fine. Yeah, it'll be all done there. But I don't know. I think more and more and more, these larger UFC events, are the standard of fight is getting greater and greater and greater and greater. And I think that is something to be applauded, because you look down the list of three world title fights, and three bona fide world title fights that could go either way. I fancy Max Holloway, if I'm being honest. The Nunes GDR fight, that could, I would suggest that Nunes probably on her game probably has too much, but I don't think you can look past Usman and Covington for being a bit of a chess match, and I think it could well go the distance, or could at least go into the later round.
I expect that.
So if you need a bed for the night, give me a shout.
No, I got it. I need to be. Originally, I was supposed to fly to Detroit. The Bucks play in Detroit tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I need to get home and, you know.
I need to ask you something about. I've got a fantasy team, and I don't know what I'm doing. So I need to know whether to put Jameis Winston in or not. So we'll talk off air.
Yeah, it depends on what your other options are. Yeah. I want to thank everybody who stopped by. Jimmy, as always, thank you, sir,
for your
time.
Appreciate it.
Hit us up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
Yes, indeed. And at Sin City Sluggers on Twitter and Instagram.
Randy Regime, come on and follow this guy. I mean, and check out his show. It's good stuff. You'll like it. For 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone, this has been Knockout Radio live from UFC Media Room. See everybody next week.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.